Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life, where we hope that we bring you literally the brighter side of life, all the things that I love to do. And today, you know, I'm all about cooking and eating healthy. I've been juicing, and I'm so excited to talk with our first guest, Michelle Dudash. I'll tell you a little bit about her, but I'm excited to talk with her and her amazing book. And then also my next guest is Mitt Graff, and he is a best-selling author, an entrepreneur, and you know I'm all about business. And then my last one is about relationships, and it is Matthew Bray. And we're going to talk about how some of our marriages just really need some readjusting, and he is a relationship coach, and he's going to talk about it. And of course, his newest book is This Is How Your Marriage Ends, But a Hopeful Approach to Saving Relationships. Again, I am so glad that you are starting your day in a positive way. Our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. I want to remind you to follow us all the way through our socials. And also to get your name in for our newsletter that goes out every single Friday. And all of our guests are in there. All of our events are in there. And again, you can also stream us right here on KVTA.com and download my podcast. You can take us with you anywhere you go. And please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends. I always love to start our show with something uplifting, and today's is don't dream your life, live your dream as your life. And you know what? We can have anything we put our minds to. It's just really a matter of getting in and doing the action steps for it. And so that's one of the things I really quickly want to just share. I am doing coaching, and I would love to work with you. So please reach out to us, that same phone number, 419-0008, 419-0008, and I'd love to jump on a Zoom call with you and see what we could do. With that, I am really excited. I want to invite Michelle Dudash. She is an RDN, an award-winning registered dietitian, nutritionist, Cordon Bleu certified chef, contributor to Food Network Healthy Eat blog, healthy recipe, columnist for the Arizona Republic, and television personality. And her recipes and articles have appeared in so many different places. And I am really excited to bring her on. And Michelle, are you there?
Hello, Kim. So excited to be here.
Yeah, you know what? I saw your book and I was like, I got to get her on. I got to get her on. So talk to us a little bit about, one, why did you decide to write this book?
Yeah, so, okay, my first book was Clean Eating for Busy Families, and really well received. People still cook from that book. I still cook from that book. Fast forward 12 years later, and I've learned a lot from my readers, and I've heard from a lot of them saying they're looking for lower-carb recipes. So they're always looking for substitutions like, oh, can I swap that bun out with this? Or can I swap that flour out with this? So I really like to listen to my readers and my followers. And of course, we know the Mediterranean diet is one of the healthiest diets in the world. It's recommended by dietitians, physicians.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Michelle, that's like even doctors, that's when, you know, they tell you this is how you should eat. This is probably the easiest thing for you to eat. And so what a great, you know, I love what you just said. You're listening to your, you know, your readers, right? I mean, a lot of people kind of throw spaghetti on the wall and don't know what they want. But you actually have taken that step further to really listen to what they really want.
I really do. And when I write my cookbooks, I ask my readers, okay, what do you think of this title? What do you think of these title for recipes? Do you want to make this recipe? That's a really important question. Because I don't want people to just buy my book and put it on the table, you know?
Right. No, you want it to
I
be
want them
like
to cook
used
from it.
As a work. Yeah, as a workbook. What foods are, when you we talk about low-carb Mediterranean diet, and of course that is your book, right? Clean
yes.
Eating Kitchen. And then the low-carb Mediterranean cookbook. And it's not hard, right? You made it really quick and easy with high protein, low sugar, healthy fat recipes for life long. I love that. What are in there? And what does that exactly mean, low-carb Mediterranean diet?
Yes. So, I try to do 30-minute recipes whenever possible. I'm a chef and a nutritionist, but guess what? I want to cook a quick and easy too. So I really, my recipes are really what I cook at home. So some, of course, are slow cooker or sheet pan, but most of them are very quick prep, throw it in the oven and it's ready. So low carb Mediterranean. So as far as low carb goes, of course, there are different definitions of low carb. So mine fits a variety of different low carb lifestyles, whether you're on keto, whether you're just cutting out grains, whether you're trying to reduce the grains that you're eating, or maybe you're just cutting out added sugars. There is really something for everyone who's trying to reduce different types of carbs in their diet. Of course, you know, carbs, we're not saying carbs are a bad thing, but everyone seems to have their sweet spot when it comes to carbs. And I always say, of course, we look at the science, but we also look at how do you feel on the planet you're eating. If it's working for you and you feel good and you're seeing the results at your doctor visits, that's probably a good indicator
that it's working for your body.
Yeah.
Because we are, you know what, that is very, very smart. We are all individuals and we're all bodies are, they're not the same. And so what works for me and works for you are totally different things. And so you do have to see, you know, there's a point where I started like eating maybe later at night, and that does not work for me. I feel so overloaded, and I feel, you know, I just don't feel good. And so eating earlier is one thing, and then what I eat, it's very important. And I don't eat any red meat, and so that's something that I've changed for the last 3 years.
Okay. Yeah, so the Mediterranean diet includes mostly plants.
Okay.
Of course, there's so when I say plants, that's, of course, there's vegetables, there are some fruits, there are nuts and seeds, lots of extra virgin olive oil. There's some dairy included, some poultry, and including some eggs, and a bit of meat. So it's kind of the reverse of how, you know, a lot of people tend to eat, which is a lot of red meat, but you can incorporate red meat in your diet just in smart ways and not necessarily every day. But maybe once a week or a few times a month, if you choose to.
Right. And Mediterranean is more like lamb, correct?
Well, red meat can be, I mean, beef, it can be beef, it can be pork, it can be lamb. It really depends. Oh. I mean, if you know, different countries, like in Spain, pork is huge. You know, there's, you know, over 20 different countries in the Mediterranean, and they all rely on different types of red meat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what are your, I'm going to say your favorite recipes, but also your readers' favorite recipes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So the creamy spinach pie. So if you have the book in front of you, page 22, creamy spinach pie with an almond flour crust. So think of spanakopita, which is that amazing appetizer with that typically has phyllo dough and it's layered with feta and spinach.
Oh, yum. Yeah.
I love it, right? But of course, I wanted those flavors in there, but instead of the phyllo dough, which is made with refined flour, I make an almond flour crust.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and almond flour is a great tool to have, a great ingredient when you're trying to do low-carb Mediterranean. I use it in breadings, I use it in baking, I use it in crusts, and it has so many different uses. I like to tell people store it in the fridge so it lasts longer, and it because it is ground up nuts. But it's just almond flour. So it fits a variety of different diet plans, too, if you're doing gluten-free as well.
Yeah, that's so smart.
Very smart. You can bake that off. You cut it into squares, and it's great warm for brunch. It can be a snack. I'll find myself the leftovers just grabbing a square, I'm running on the go all the time. Not that that's a great habit, but I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. And you're a mom, right? So do your children eat these?
My children they do not eat these. I'll be totally honest. So spinach,
yeah.
Anything green, kind of, they're not
they
a big fan
yeah.
of. But everyone else loves these bars. They will say. Now, my kids, of course, they do love some of the recipes in my book. My kids, by the way, are 12 and 8. And
right.
their preferences, they keep getting better and better, of course. They started out
yeah.
amazing when they were like 2, and then they got picky, and now they're kind of,
they're
coming back. They're coming back.
How it happens until they get all their taste buds developed, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I'm looking at, okay, I love anything with lemon in it, and you have your Lebanese meat pies with ground beef. I would probably just do ground turkey. How would that change it? Would that be still okay?
Yeah, I would probably maybe drizzle a little more olive oil in there, depending how lean the turkey is that you're using. So when it comes to ground turkey, I'm a huge fan, by the way, of ground turkey.
Okay.
But if you're using the extra lean, pretty much all the fat's been taken out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to just make sure you add some moisture back in there, whether it be maybe in that olive oil.
Gotcha.
Would be good.
Yeah.
And of course,
and
lemon. Yeah, very
chicken?
Lebanese. I'm actually about a quarter Lebanese. My background is so that's where all the Lebanese influence in the book comes from. I sprinkle those throughout the book, which is another Lebanese country or another Mediterranean country. But you'll find a lot of fresh lemon, which is amazing.
Right.
Like my lemon baked cod, that's another favorite recipe.
What is it?
A 30-minute recipe.
What was that? Cod?
It's a lemon-baked cod with pistachio crust.
Oh, I love cod. Oh, okay. Okay, I can't wait to try that. I'm looking down here, one, at your chicken gyro lettuce wraps. Yum. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm so hungry now that I started looking at all your stuff here. Talk to us for a second about that.
Oh, I love that recipe, especially I love it grilled. So what you do there, you take your chicken, you can use your thighs or your breast, boneless, skinless. You pound those out a little bit, marinate it in some lemon juice and oregano and garlic, and then it gets totally tender. You can pop that on the grill or bake it. And then, of course, instead of a pita, we use a lettuce wrap for low carb. But, of course, if you have kids in your house, you certainly give them the pita carbs. Children do need a lot of energy for fuel, and carbohydrates are part of that. And then, of course, the sauces. It's all about the sauces, right? So if there's a cucumber tzatziki you can make, that's in the book. There's a tahini recipe that you can make with just 4 different ingredients.
So who is your mentor that helped you come up with all of these?
I came up with all the recipes.
Okay.
Is
your mom or your grandmother or?
The inspiration. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a total mix. I will say okay, in the book. So the Lebanese side of the family is on my dad's side. So my grandmother, my great-grandmother, a lot of the Lebanese recipes they're kind of like modern iterations of what my grandmother and great-grandmother cooked.
Wow.
So, for example, the tabbouleh salad, you know, wheat bulgur isn't always the easiest ingredient to find. And for low carb, I actually swap quinoa in there. And a lot of people tend to have quinoa on hand, so I really like using that ingredient. But yes, that's where some of it comes from. A lot of it comes from my travels. I've toured through Spain and France and Croatia and Italy. And of course, there's so many more countries that I want to see. But a lot of it's come from that too. Things I've eaten or maybe just certain ingredients that I was inspired by.
Okay, so what are zoodles? I see you say shrimp with zoodles and fresh tomato sauce.
Yes, zoodles are zucchini noodles.
Oh, yummy. So do you have one of those machines that make them?
Yes. Well, I have. So there's, of course, different types of, there's the fancy spiralizers. Mine is probably a $15 gadget from the kitchen store. It doesn't take much.
Okay,
much space.
Good to know. Okay,
yes.
You don't have to spend a lot of money on it. Yep.
It's funny. I use it. I do love zoodles. They're really, they're just fun to eat. Of course, they count as a vegetable. And if you're looking to cut out carbs or reduce carbs, they're delicious and they're fun. So you just saute them up in the pan. I will spiralize 1 or 2 zucchini, and that'll give me enough to fill up a pan. You just lightly saute them so they hold their shape, and they still have a little al dente to them. And they really take on whatever you put in there. So I'll, like one recipe in the book is with a pesto sauce. another recipe that you mentioned with the shrimp. So it's like in Capri, Italy, they do these fresh tomato sauces that are amazing.
Right. Yeah.
And so I incorporate that type of fresh tomato sauce with the zoodles.
Ooh,
so it's like you're traveling through the Mediterranean.
Sounds so yummy. I do want to remind anybody that's just waking up with us who's hungry as you're listening to this with me. We're talking with Michelle Dudash and, of course, her book, Clean Eating Kitchen, the low-carb Mediterranean cookbook, quick and easy, high protein, low sugar, healthy fat, and recipes for a lifelong health. You know, I know that I wanted to talk to you more about your spices, but I'm going to have you back because I know that we're running out of time here, but how do my listeners get your book? And I love this. I could talk to you forever, you know?
Oh, thank you. Likewise, I could talk with you
thank
all day.
You.
Too, Kim. So if you go to my website, MichelleDudash.com, click the book tab and you'll see, I mean, it's available wherever you like to buy your books, really, whether it's a bookstore, Amazon, an independent bookstore can order it for you. No problem.
Love it. And give us what's the most important ingredient that we should have in our cupboard?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Well,
I'm going to say olive oil is a great staple. And make sure you're storing it properly.
Oh, that was really good.
Yeah, away from light, away from heat.
Yep.
And don't be afraid to use it, you know, generously. It's really good for you.
I love that. All right, I'm going to bring you back because I want to know there's so many different kinds of olive oil, and maybe you can educate us a little bit more on that. Michelle Dudash, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. Please share our show with everyone and download our podcast too. And I'm going to invite you back. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim. Have a great day.
All right, talk to you soon. Take care. All right, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Stay with us because when we come back, we will talk with Mitch Graff. We're going to talk a little bit about work-life balance, motivation, inspiration, and entrepreneurship. And if that's you, I want to talk to you. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Main Street Mortgage guides and educates clients based on three fundamental principles coined by America's homeownership coach, John W. Mallett, which form the basis of their unique approach to building wealth and well-being through homeownership. When followed, these principles result in their clients' successful purchase of their home and lay a strong foundation for sustained homeownership. Main Street Mortgage's mission, purpose, and goals are to provide you with the tools to finance and purchase your dream home. Come one step closer to homeownership by contacting Gina at 818-874-9900. That's 818-874-9900. Don't put your dreams on hold any longer. Call today.
Did you know anger management is available to you? Do you live with stress every day? Are you driving, feeling stressed, possibly speeding? There are stress management techniques available to you to help you reduce stress and the risk of a court-ordered anger management class. TNT Anger Management Services can help you. The consultation is free. Call TNT today, not tomorrow, at 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to their website at tntams.com. That's tntams.com.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com. For WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans, Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Barbara Doust is a mindset strategist, business coach, author, and inspirational speaker. She can help you break through your inner ceilings to play a bigger game in business and in life. In a short period of time, she shows you how to grow your self-worth, to grow your net worth, and introduce you to the parts of yourself that you haven't met. You don't get what you want, you get who you are. Schedule your complimentary Play a Bigger Game session today at BarbaraDoust.com. That's Barbara, DAOUST.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And of course, my next guest is Matthew Frey. And of course, he is a relationship coach, a writer, and he leans on some of the lessons of his failed marriage and divorce to help others avoid making the same mistakes as he did. And so we're going to bring him on and talk about his newest book, his first book, This Is How Your Marriage Ends, A Hopeful Approach to Saving Relationships. Stay with us. Let's welcome him. Good morning, Matt, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And, of course, we're talking about your newest book, This Is How Your Marriage Ends, A Hopeful Approach to Saving Relationships. And, of course, Matthew Frey is joining us. Matthew, why this topic?
Hi, Kim. Thank you so much for having me. Forgive me. I want to make sure I'm answering your question. Did you just say why this topic?
Yes.
It's deeply, deeply personal to me. My parents split when I was 4 years old, and my parents lived 500 miles apart after that because it was 1983, and moving your child away from the other parent wasn't as frowned upon in the judicial system, I don't think, as it is today. And then the combination of that and then my own divorce 30 years later with my own son, and I felt really, really awful afterwards. And so I went to work on understanding, like, why it might have happened, and I think I landed on some explanations that make a lot of sense and that could be useful.
Well, I love you, and I'm sorry to bombard you in the very beginning, but my parents actually divorced when I was 16, and I remember that was a really traumatic time in my life, and then I went through a divorce when my daughter, I had lost a baby, and then my husband kind of freaked out after that, and I had a two-year-old. And so I was like, no, this is not what I wanted. But life kind of, that's really what my show is about, the brighter side of life.
Yeah.
And you kind of figure out, okay, how do I move on? And so I love this, I love this because some relationships can be saved, right?
Oh, I absolutely believe that. But I mean, I think a more useful way to, I want to be careful. I think the optimum way. way is to eliminate blind spots so that we don't – my belief is that we accidentally erode trust over time, paper cut by paper cut, right? It's not these big dramatic things that end us. It's this series of tiny, tiny infractions and tiny pains over the course of many weeks, months, and years that slowly erode trust in this, like, really sort of insidious way because we don't see it coming. And so – I think learning about how behaviors that seem really benign and inconsequential can cause enormous harm. And I equate it to 1960s health officials who, like the American Cancer Society, that had to, like, speak out and start the PR campaign about, hey, tobacco hurts you. And 'cause everybody was just smoking all the time, and it was fine. And nobody knew back then, 60, 70 years ago, that it was as harmful as it is. And then we learned, and I'm essentially trying to do that. I think that there's things we don't realize hurt us, and then we do them with like zero thought that it's harmful, and then that's the danger. The danger is we don't know how bad this can be for the people that we love and for ourselves.
I love that. I love that. And of course, you are a relationship coach, correct?
I am. That's what I do these days when I'm not writing things or having lovely conversations like this.
Yeah. And isn't it funny how our lives lead us to where we, you know, and it seems I'm profound in the sense that now I do, you know, hosting and media coaching and business coaching because we've already journeyed down that. And really, it's like if we could help somebody else not have to go through that pain or the trauma that we went through, what else is there, right? I mean, what a better coach.
It changed everything. I mean, I was in a dark place 9 years ago when my marriage ended, and this saved me. Like, this work saved me because it gave me purpose, and it gave me hope that I don't have to have things like this continue to happen. When you think you're a victim of unfair treatment, forgive me, some people are victims of unfair treatment, and I don't mean to minimize that. In my case, I delusionally believed I was the victim of unfair treatment. And what happens is you don't accept any responsibility for, like, where your life is. And I needed to learn how to, like, own all of these little things that I did or didn't do that inadvertently harmed my relationship. Otherwise, I was a threat to perpetually have unhealthy relationships for the rest of my life, and I was really afraid of that. And now I'm not afraid of it. I'm not saying we can't control what other people do. I haven't eliminated 100% of everything bad that might happen to me. But I don't need to be afraid of accidentally sabotaging my relationship and being confused about why it's not working out. That's not something I need to worry about anymore, and that's cool.
I love that. And, you know, so, again, fast forward, I've been married for 35 years now, 4 children, 4 grandchildren. And, you know, marriage is not perfect. Whoever says it's perfect, it's not, because you have your own emotions. They have their own emotions. And there comes a point, like, is there something wrong? No, nothing's wrong. Okay. And then you get, I thought you said nothing was wrong, right? We have to get to that point where we share, because sometimes we don't even know what's wrong, right? It's a feeling. It's a trigger. It's something that we just don't really even know how to explain. But knowing that we can be who we really are and just letting that other person get through it until they're ready to share or talk, and it doesn't erupt your whole life and your whole relationship, that's what life's about, right?
Yeah, I think it's really important. A lot of women have written me and said, Matt, thank you for this book because you put words to feelings that I didn't know how to put words to. Like, it feels bad, but I didn't know how to, like, encapsulate it in the English language. And you found a way to encapsulate it in the English language. And now I have this, like, way of saying it so that my husband or my boyfriend or my partner, whoever, gets it. And
what
I
are
really
those
like
words?
And,
share those words with us. And I want to remind anybody that, one, how do we find your book?
It's more or less everywhere books are sold. You know, everywhere. I mean, you might walk into a local mom and pop shop and not find it. You might
walk
into
but
there's, if you look for it, you'll find it. It's more or less everywhere. I'm very blessed to have a pretty awesome publisher that, you know, they did an amazing job getting it out there.
Is this your first book?
It certainly is. Yes.
Congratulations. That's
thank
awesome.
You.
Yeah, and
I'm 1 week in.
And you're sharing your journey. Wow, good for you.
I'm trying to. Thank you.
Yeah.
But you asked about what those words are that people say. And here's the brief way I know how to describe it. In my coaching work, I'm almost always working with men because I don't presume to tell if we're going to stereotype the average woman in the average male-female relationship. She can usually relate to my wife's experience in my marriage, and my ex-wife, I should say, forgive me, but I like to talk in the past tense. And then, you know, these husbands or boyfriends can relate to my experience in my marriage. So I like to lead with my own story, not because I think I'm awesome and everybody cares what happened to me. I don't think that. But I want them to understand I failed at this, and I used to believe I was doing one thing, and now I believe I was doing another thing. And I feel like if I walk people through my experience and my thought process, they may choose to adopt that same thought process and then hurt people less. And I'll love that if they do. But the words are, for me, in my coaching work, I focus on two ideas. I want people to, and I'm going to say these backwards with the way that I work, I prioritize validation, and I'll get to that in a moment. But to me, like, the super big idea is consideration. And people are like, consideration, you mean like being polite, being thoughtful? And I'm like, well, sort of, but it's deeper than that. It's the decision to perpetually, all the time, habitually think, and I promise you, you do this. You for sure do this after 35 years with four children. You calculate for everybody in your family, yourself, your husband, your four children, any pets you might have. You're thinking about schedules. You're thinking about dietary wants and needs. You're thinking about all of these things. And so you're constantly considering how your decisions, your schedule, your choices will roll downhill and impact all of these people you care about. You do that all of the time because you love and care and respect the people in your sphere of influence. And it's beautiful. And so often the people that I'm working with and myself 10 years ago didn't do that. We were the only variable sometimes in the math equation we used to make a decision. So this wasn't like this intent to harm. It wasn't that at all. It was just, what do I want? I want a coffee right now. So I'm going to go get coffee. But when I drive home and I walk in the door with my coffee and my wife's there and she says, hey, Matt, it would have been really cool if you'd like texted me if I wanted coffee. And I might have thought my wife was being like really petty because I wouldn't have complained to her if she came home with coffee. That was how I used to think 10 years ago. And now I realize it never even occurred to me. It never even fluttered through my little brain that I might walk in the door with a cup of coffee and that she might have sort of a negative emotional experience about it. And the difference, in my estimation, between a healthy relationship and an unhealthy one over time is can we trust someone to perpetually, vigilantly consider us when they make decisions, even if they're tiny ones? Because what most of the wives are left to think about, at least in my work and male-female relationships specifically, is either the worst case scenario is my husband or boyfriend, my partner, thinks about me and they know that something will hurt me and they do it on purpose anyway because they're always going to do what they want. That's the worst case. And the best case, the best possible explanation here is that they don't think about me at all. Like, that's the best outcome of the math of experiencing this constant lack of consideration, is that I'm so small and unimportant and invisible to this human that he goes about his day blissfully unaware that I exist. And that is the math equation that I think erodes so much trust in relationships. So
wow,
I work with guys on this idea
that.
Of considering is so important.
Well, you know what? And you just nailed it. I mean, you know, those are definitely equations, okay? Because, and it's interesting because I think my husband has come from a whole nother place, but it took a long time because he's like, hey, I'm going here. And I'm like, really? Like, what am I doing today? You know? And he's like, well, why does it matter? You know? And so now we actually come from a couplehood. And I think that is the big answer. When you say yes to your marriage, it's not giving up who you are. It's connecting from an I to a we and to a couplehood. And I think that's so important. And a consideration, like you said, is making that decision. Are you going to include this person that cares for you, that is living with you, that, you know, there's things that you can both do to equate them into your life. And I think that's the disconnect some people don't have, correct?
Yeah, it's a beautiful way to put it. I never thought about it quite like the idea of only thinking about yourself as like a solo individual versus being part of this whole. Being half of a whole, so to speak, or being part of a larger whole that includes like everybody in our family. I was an only child. I was an only child. I don't want to make excuses. I was an only child.
But
I was a boy. So I was, I opted out of so many things that like wives and mothers did in the context of like domestic household responsibilities and things like that. I had a mother who was she did a lot for me, and I don't want to demonize her because she's great. But she folded my laundry and put it away. And she did. The only thing I had to do was like make my bed and do my homework. That was it. Right. And then in high school, maybe mow the lawn a little bit. Like, I had it so easy, and I took that. And I promise you, I'm not blaming my mother for my marriage or my father modeling crappy male behavior. But I didn't learn about considering other human beings, how they would feel based on, like, what I did or didn't do in their company.
Yeah, no. And you know what? My mom was an only child, and having four children, you know, so many people, there's such a difference there because each one of them has their own personalities. And as a mom, I always had a housekeeper and somebody to keep us organized because I had many businesses. But I take that, and if I could change one thing, it would be to make them all individually responsible for their life and their businesses and their whatever they were doing, their bedrooms, okay? And you know what? We're producing them to be marriage material for somebody else to make sure that they treat them special. And luckily, my two sons are amazing in their relationships. That's something that, you know, your mom was just comforting you. And, you know, and we do that as moms. I mean, she was doing the best job she could for you, but it didn't help you in your marriage. And so I love this. Matthew Frey, where are you located?
Geographically, Cleveland, Ohio.
It's
less nice than Los Angeles. I mean, that respects me to any former Clevelanders who might hear this.
Yeah, well, I love what you've talked about. And, you know, to me, it's like you've journeyed through it. You're giving back, and of course you give back in your, you know, in your business every day with all your clients and your, you know, people that you see. What is the brighter side that came from all of this, saving relationships?
To me, it's the notion of eliminating blind spots. It's the idea that I am a decent human being, and I never meant to cause the degree of pain in my marriage or the degree of harm to the relationship I valued most. I didn't know, like, how to calculate for it, how to accept responsibility, how to see it. And now that I do, I am so glad. It's an enormous amount. See, here's the thing. I was never stressed about it because I was ignorant. Because
you didn't know. Like, you know what they say? What you don't know, you don't know, right?
Yeah, and I think that it's true, but you learn the hard way sometimes. And I did. I learned the hard way at age 33, 10 years ago, that when we don't accept responsibility for what the math result of our actions results in for other people, their experiences, sometimes they'll choose to not be in a relationship with you anymore. And now that I've learned some very valuable communication skills and some very powerful, like, mindfulness skills that allow me to show up effectively for other people, I'm just in a much better place to have healthy relationships. And I'm really glad because I believe strongly the quality of our relationships is the number one influence on how good or bad our lives feel. I don't think there are many things, perhaps physical health, but they tend to go hand in hand. But perhaps physical health might matter more, but the quality of our relationships is sort of the number one on the power ranking of influencing your life and how it feels every day, I think. And so learning these skills, I think, is so critical, and if I may stereotype, particularly for men. Because I think a lot of women relate more effectively than men do, not because men are bad, but because they were not taught.
Right. I love that. Let me ask you, are you in a relationship now?
I am not in a relationship that is, hey, let's work toward marriage actively. Okay. But that's how I know how to say it, you know? It's like, I see somebody, we're both divorced, we're both approximately the same age, and it's complicated because I have a 13-year-old son. But I can tell you, you're going to have to take me at my word. She's not here to, like, say it. But she's really impressed with the amount of mindfulness I bring to the table when – just all the time. Just in these tiny moments. Because she really understands the work I do. You know, she's as close to it as anybody. And so we talk about these things all the time. And so she really, like, validates the work. She's like, yes. This would have, like, changed everything in my marriage. And she's like, I'm really proud of you for doing the work. And it's great.
There you go. I love it. Question. I'm looking at your book. You have roses on the front page. What made you put those on there? How does that correlate?
I mean, I did not design the cover, but I love the cover. I think they did a great job.
Okay.
The folks at HarperCollins designed the cover. And I think it communicates the idea of like slow decay.
Right.
And I love the Weinstein too, because it's very me. It's like, I needed a drink, or I felt like I did. That's not really a healthy choice. But
no.
I felt like I needed a drink to numb the pain 10 years ago. And so I think symbolically, you know, these like wilting roses and the cracked vase and the rose petals and the wine stain on the counter next to it, that looks a little bit like blood. It's not, these things tend to not explode. I mean, they can. There's plenty of relationships. And I'm so sorry for the people who suffer the enormous trauma of like massive, dramatic betrayals related to infidelity or like financial issues or just somebody who's like a serial liar and just some awful things where you lose your sense of safety and trust. But I think most relationships very slowly like eke into this, I don't feel safe anymore space after 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years.
100%. And then you feel that you are not a good person, that you do not have what it takes to be in a relationship. And sometimes it's not even you. It's not even you. It's the other person's reflection. And so then we get, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not. So, oh my God, we could go on. And I, like I said, I'm so, thank you for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. Please share our show with everyone. And I'd love to have you back, because I think this is something that we really don't touch. And coming from a male of, you know, that you've learned so much and where you are today, that's what it's all about, is really just getting better every day with yourself and within, you know, what you can offer other people.
Thank you, Kim. I really appreciate that. And I would love to be back, you know, at your leisure. Just please
reach out.
Let's connect on social.
And I would love to talk with you again. Thank you again
that
for what you're doing.
That sounds so great. I would look forward to that. Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about it.
Absolutely. Matthew Frey, and of course, a hopeful approach to saving relationships. And this is how your marriage ends. And of course, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. Well, I'm really excited to talk with my next guest, and of course, Mitch Graff. I love this work-life balance, motivation, inspiration, entrepreneurship. You are a daddy of three, best-selling author. I love serial entrepreneur, international renowned business and speaker, and 2-time national syndicated radio show. I want to do that. I need your help. So, but anyways, I am really excited that you know what? I kind of went through all your stuff, and you have a life, and you make sure you're having fun while you're doing this. Because a lot of people are workaholics, and you started really young. I love your little thing, selling lemonade in third grade, to selling bikes out of your garage in the seventh grade, and then to running 4 companies today, and knowing how to squeeze every drop of potential out of your endeavors. You know, it's funny. I always say, I don't want to leave any life on the table.
Exactly.
Like, go, 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 you know. And as I'm speaking, I'm in Panama City, Florida right now with my husband. And, you know, we're having fun, but I love what I do, so I still keep doing it. So, anyways, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you, Kim. It's an honor to be here. And yeah, the gurus out there teach us that in order to build a beast, whatever that beast is, whether you're an entrepreneur and you're building your own business, or whether you're trying to climb that corporate ladder, that we have to forsake everything, our family, our free time, our hobbies. We have to give that up for a period of time in order to get our stuff up the hill. And I believe that it's the polar opposite. I believe that you, first of all, you build that lifestyle. What is it that's important to you? What hobbies are important? I just turned 60, Kim, about 2 months ago, which I don't feel 60. I feel 29. My body still feels like I'm 12. You know, but my mind
like
hasn't
it.
Figured that out
Gosh.
Yet. But
okay.
I have a 16, 14, and 7-year-old kid, which
okay.
I know sounds strange. Most of my buddies in college, they have grandkids that are my kids' age. So what it does is it forces me to really evaluate and analyze what I do every day. And to make sure that you've heard the 80-20 principle, right, Pareto's principle.
Absolutely.
I call
yep.
it 95-5. I truly believe, especially now that we're all coming out of COVID and things are a little bit chaotic because so many businesses did not make it, those that are left are scrambling to try to make sure their customer service is there, to make sure all that stuff is there. But I think what's happened is that they're continuing to build that beast, and before you know it, it is an 80-hour work week. And I think it needs to be more like a 24/7 mentality. And I know that sounds like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but I think it should be 24 hours a week, 7 months a year. And so everything that I do is kind of based on trying to build that. And so 5% of what I do every day brings me 95% of my results. So I try to every day do those things and then let other people do everything
else. So let's just really talk about that. What are those things? Because, you know, it's interesting. I'm a morning person, okay? People, you know, especially I'm 2 hours ahead of everybody here. And my son was like, Mom, if you, I don't know, he wanted me to get on some site. And I'm like, yeah, 5:30 every morning.
Exactly.
I don't care where
you
I am.
You want to get up before the sun's up, right?
Exactly. And I like to read something positive. I like write my list. I'm always on, you know, I mean, you know, I'm on. So. And I'm always looking for opportunities everywhere I go. And so somebody that, you know, I think that's what you're saying, right? That you're kind of on all the time, even though you're enjoying life at the same time.
Actually, no. I take more time off now than I did when I was younger. Because when I was younger, I was young and stupid. And that's how I became wise and older, right? That's how we all become wiser and older, is we were at one time young and stupid. So I used to be that 80-hour a week guy.
Right.
And what's happened over the years, you know, kids kind of helped me laser focus and really get stuff down to nitty-gritty. But even before that, I really had this vision of, okay, the reason I work is I want to make enough money to buy whatever lifestyle that I want to live. Mm-hmm. Whatever house I'm going to live, the car I'm going to drive, the clothes I wear, where I go on vacation. All those things that we all have swirling around in our lives, I wanted to make sure that my lifestyle was front and center. Sometimes it because of a death that takes place in our life, that we realize, hey, wait a minute, life is precious, life is sweet, we need to slow down. I had that moment 25, almost 27 years ago now, and it really has made me focus on, okay, Kim, right now you and I are having this moment, right? It's going to last for a few minutes. We can have a great moment together. And hopefully enhance and enrich people's lives. Then after that, you move on to your next moment, and I have my next moment. So that's just make sure, like you're living your life, that's make sure that we maximize and take advantage of every single moment that we're faced with, whether it's business, whether it's family, whether it's taking an online course for self-improvement yourself. Make sure that you're present in the moment, and that's where magic starts to happen when you can do that.
I love that. And, you know, really, for our listeners that are listening right now, COVID, this whole pandemic, a lot of people took a moment to just really stop and see what's really precious. And now life is starting to come back. It's not the 24/7, luckily, okay? And we realized how life could be interrupted in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
And so, yes, I love that. Being mindful, being in the moment. And really, you know, taking every minute to the fullest. But
that doesn't mean that you can't be barracuda when it comes to business. I mean, I'm ruthless when it comes to business. I know how to birth an idea, build the thing, and then I sell it. That's kind of what I've done through my career. I've sold 15 companies, but I don't want to do that all the time. And so I just make sure that I identify what those things are. And the way that I identify that, you'd asked that earlier, I think there's three levels of work value that we do. You got the bottom end stuff, the $15 to $20 an hour work that we all have employees that do that work. It's vitally important. It's actually what moves the needle in our business. But you shouldn't be doing that kind of work. That's $15 to $20 an hour. And then you have your management level stuff, which is about $50 an hour. That's making sure your sales are achieved, making sure you're looking forward to next month. And then the stuff that the entrepreneurs and the business owners should be doing is I call it $500 an hour work. The vision for your company, where are you going to be in 6 months, 12 months, 5 years? How are you going to train your employees and give them the tools they need to not only serve the customers like with six-star service, but to make sure that they are helping to move that needle forward? And so you should be spending your time. That's where I try to spend my time. Am I successful? Heck no. There's times I'm completely a failure, but failure has allowed me to, you know, I've been knocked down 999 times. But I've gotten up 1,000 times. As long as you get up one extra time, life is golden, life is good, and you live to fight another day.
I like that. So what is it exactly that you do? And I do want to remind anybody that's just starting their day with us here on the Kim Pagano Show that we're talking to Mitch Graff. And talk to us. What motivates you to help so many people?
It started when I was very young, and I can remember you talked about lemonade. I used to sell my lemonade for 50 cents a glass, and everybody else on my block was selling it for a quarter. So even at a very young age, I figured out a way to make a little bit extra money. I charged double, but I also gave you a free cookie. I had a table and chairs where you can sit down and enjoy a cookie and a lemonade, and I played Dodger games on my little AM transistor radio. So I, even when I was in third grade, I was trying to build that customer experience. But what it kind of gives me that drive to share is because I have failed so much, and I don't want other people to fail, whether it be people that I know personally or people that I see getting into the space. And it could be a plumber, a real estate agent, a restaurant. It doesn't matter. If you understand the basic tenets of good business, you can apply that to any industry. So I've been fortunate enough to have failed a lot. So I want to share that experience. And you know, they say that an expert is anyone that drives more than 50 miles.
yeah.
Like my own kids. I can't get my own kids to listen to my advice, but
well,
a guy in Australia, no problem.
Yeah, I've got four children. You're right. They listen to everybody. But
how old are your kids,
know,
Kim?
So I have a 35-year-old daughter.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. And then a 31-year-old daughter, and then a 27-year-old son, and a 26-year-old
son. See, I'm older than you are, and my kids could be your grandkids.
Yeah, see, I do, you know, and I've got four grandchildren, too, so you are a little behind, but you know
what? Okay, stop.
I'm not even going to go there. But
I feel fortunate, though. You know, I lived my life before. I traveled and had a great life before, and now I met the woman of my dreams. I have three wonderful children that make me want to get up every single day, and I do believe that morning, that first little bit of time, that starts the whole mindset for your day. I get up before the sun comes up. I don't look at social media or emails for at least the first 90 minutes. I control that first little bit of time, and that gets me on that right foot for making sure I'm doing that 5% of the stuff.
I love it. And really, I didn't mean that in a bad way.
I have a quirky sense of humor.
Life around, okay, but you flipped your life around. You actually had your life. You had your life first, right, and your kids second. So, you know, whichever way we do it, long as we're living our best life.
That's a great way. Yep, absolutely. That's perfect.
Yeah. So talk to us. If someone, you know, is currently stuck in a 9-to-5 job, but they have a dream, what would you recommend to them?
Oh, gosh. Well, if you don't have a dream, I'm sorry for you. We all have to have that dream, that dangling carrot, right? Whether it be our vacation next year or the car we want to buy when we get enough money in the bank, whatever that dream is, that's what keeps us alive. We trade our time for money. That's what most people do that are working at 9-to-5. If you have a dream for doing your own thing one day, whatever that dream is, I recommend do your research on a competition, find out who else is in that space and how they do their business, look at their systems of, if it's virtual, how their website is, how they drive traffic to their website or to their sales funnel. If it's a brick and mortar or a physical building that you want to look at having a business in, look at your competition, find out how they promote and advertise to get that perfect avatar or that perfect customer to come in. And you got to make sure that you're passionate about it. Don't do something just because, hey, I can make $1 million a year if I want to start building wooden toy soldiers. Hey, if you're not into wooden toy soldiers, that's not the right thing for you. The worst thing in the world is to get up every single day and work only for the money. The best thing is to get up in the day with a passion, with a hitch in your giddy-up that you just want to make a difference in the world. And guess what? The money will flow. The other thing I can recommend is to come up with what's called an MVP, a minimally viable product. Don't feel like you have to have the perfect product, the perfect service, the perfect idea to launch it to the world. Come up with a minimally viable product that you can launch, share with friends and family, coworkers to get it out there, get their feedback, find out what you did wrong, what you didn't think about, and come up with that thing. Do some promotion. There's companies out there that can help you, you know, get that first step. But make sure you're passionate. Make sure you do research on your competitors, and make sure that you come out with just a minimally viable product. I think those are three good steps to start.
Wow, those are really good. So let me ask you, who did you look into? Was there somebody that you kind of mimicked and then grew your business through them?
when I was young, I was an avid reader of just about everything. I mean, the regular authors that we all have read and watched, that was me. But I can remember a guy in 1996. He was a sales manager, national sales manager for a pet product manufacturing company. They made toothpaste and toothbrushes for dogs and cats. How weird is that? But they were like a $15 million company. We were at dinner one night, and I said, Mike, what drives you? You know, how do you view your job as the marketing and sales manager for this company? He says, my goal in life with this company is to find something I can make for a dollar and sell for 17. And that sounds like so far out there, but it's stuck in my head. And to this day, it's like, okay, if you're going to buy, if you're going to make something for a dollar, the raw stuff, it probably is going to have to sell for $15, $16, $17 because everybody has to take their little cut. But he just, that was his vision. What can I buy or what can I make for a dollar, good quality, and sell it for $17 and make enough profit that I can give that six-star service, that I can hire more people, that I can put more food on people's tables and help them pay their mortgages. A lot of times that's when employers, that's their drive. You know, I love employing people so I can help them accomplish their dreams, you know. So, but yeah, buy for a dollar, sell for 17. How simple is that?
I like your way of thinking. Mitch, I want to talk to you longer, and our show is over. I want to be back. I know.
We'll do it again, Kim. We'll do it again.
Okay, you got it. Please download our show and our podcast, and I'm going to reach out to you because I want to invite you back again. Thank you
that'd
much.
Be awesome.
For
Have a great
really
day, everybody.
Good. You too. All right, take care. The Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And of course, I always end my show with a moment of happiness. Stay positive, work hard, and make it happen. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. Have a great rest of your weekend.